The vision of the Anointed is one in which ills as poverty, irresponsible sex, and crime derive primarily from society rather than from individual choices and behavior. To believe in personal responsibility would be to destroy the whole special role of the Anointed, whose vision casts them in the role of rescuers of people treated unfairly by society. Welcome to Keith Knight, Don't Tread on Anyone in the Libertarian Institute. Here is a brief summary of the book, The Vision of the Anointed, Self-Congratulation as a Basis for Social Policy by Thomas Sowell. Now, everyone knows someone who is a little bossy or a little controlling, but some people want to be so controlling and have so much influence over the lives of so many people that they occupy positions of government where you don't have the recognized right to opt out of its laws or chipping in to its certain endeavors. He says, in order to get people to justify things that the Anointed already want them to believe in, they have this very recognizable pattern of how they explain problems in the world. So why should you give some people so much power? Well, because there's all of these problems. He says, here are four things you need to watch out for. One, assertions of a great danger to the whole society, a danger to which the masses of people are oblivious. Step two, an urgent need for action to avert impending catastrophe. Step three, a need for government to drastically curtail the dangerous behavior of the many in response to the prescient conclusions of the few. Finally, four, a disdainful dismissal of arguments to the contrary as either uninformed, irresponsible, or motivated by unworthy purposes. Thomas Sowell goes on to expand on those four, breaking them into stages. A very distinct pattern has emerged repeatedly when policies favored by the Anointed turn out to fail. The pattern typically has four stages. Stage one, the crisis. Some situation exists. Those negative aspects the Anointed propose to eliminate. Such a situation is routinely characterized as a crisis, even though all human situations have negative aspects, and even though evidence is seldom asked or given to show how the situation at hand is either uniquely bad or threatening to get worse. Sometimes the situation described as a crisis has in fact already been getting better for years. Stage 2, the solution. Policies to end the crisis are advocated by the Anointed, who say that these policies will lead to beneficial result A. Critics say that these policies will lead to detrimental result Z. The Anointed dismiss these latter claims as absurd and simplistic, if not dishonest. Stage 3, the results. The policies are instituted and lead to detrimental result Z. Stage 4, the response. Those who attribute detrimental result Z to the policies instituted are dismissed as simplistic for ignoring the complexities involved, as many factors went into determining the outcome. The burden of proof is put on the critics to demonstrate to a certainty that these policies alone were the only possible cause of the worsening that occurred. No burden of proof whatever is put on those who had so confidently predicted improvement. Indeed, it is often asserted that things would have been even worse were it not for the wonderful programs that mitigated the inevitable damage from other factors. So what the Anointed tend to do is put themselves in a situation where their position is unfalsifiable. Everything falls into two categories. Either it works and they were right, or they underestimated how right they were and they need more funding. So it either works or needs more funding. In no situation could they be wrong. The examples he uses is the war on poverty, sex education, criminal justice. In all of these cases, these were programs that the government sold to us as, if we engage in a war on poverty, poverty will decrease. Didn't happen as a result. If we have sex education, teenage pregnancy will go down. That didn't happen. If we engage in these criminal justice reforms, there won't be any crime, or crime will drastically decrease. Didn't happen in all of the empirical examples he uses. He has a great quote, says, have we reached the ultimate stage of absurdity, where some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born, while other people are not held responsible for what they themselves are doing today? I was thinking about if I could add to this list of what falls under the category of crisis solution results response. And it turns out almost everything today is sold to us as a terrible crisis that only a really, really big government could possibly solve. So things that fall under this category are racism, sexism, global warming, climate change, inequality, deregulation, overpopulation, pollution, the ozone layer melting, COVID-19, the Delta variant, repeal of Roe v. Wade, abortion access, ignorance, funding to state education, homelessness, healthcare, crumbling infrastructure, Donald Trump, Brexit, and the repeal of net neutrality. What are the chances that the solution to all of these alleged crises is having a bigger government that in America already gets $5 trillion every single year? An alternative hypothesis is, could it be that the group government that monopolizes compulsory education has made the masses believe that all ills of society are the result of the all-omniscient state not having enough power? Finally, I will end with my favorite Thomas Sowell quote. The very same people who say that government has no right to interfere with sexual activity between consenting adults believe that the government has every right to interfere with economic activity between consenting adults. Thank you for watching Keith Knight, Don't Tread on Anyone, and the Libertarian Institute.